Daniel. This morning's message by Pastor Sam will be a vision for 2018, Proverbs 29:18. Pastor Stan?
Happy New Year again for all of you, to all of you. I have to admit that every time we turn the corner at 28, around the New Year time, I have this kind of this love-hate relationship with the New Year. I am anticipating something new. I'm grateful for the year we've had before. I'm aware that whatever we do in the future might not be just how we planned it. In fact, the Lord says many different words like that. He says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. On the other hand, the Word of God says, in a way, in his heart, a man plans his ways, but the Lord orders his steps. So really, we can plan, and we ought to plan, because God is a God of planning. But in the end, God is the one who works things out. And I was watching a show recently that, with a line on this show, simply says, one of the things that we ought to have learned by now is that any plans that we make is probably going to be changed. Another one says that God looks at man's plans and laughs. And really, it's kind of like that, isn't it? That we want to plan, and God actually calls us to plan. God is a God of planning. And so as we follow in the image of God, God gives us the capacity to plan. He gives us the ability to think ahead. And that's what we would call vision, envisioning. To be able to see something that does not yet exist, and to the best of our ability, tap into whatever God has already revealed to us so that we can have something that compels us to go forward. Today is New Year's Eve, and I'm sure many of you are thinking the same thing. You're thinking about, what are you going to make for tomorrow, right? Such profound kinds of things. And, of course, deeper things like, what has the past year been like? I don't know about you, but in our Sunday school class, somebody shared that this has been kind of a fatiguing week. Going into the new year, other things being planned already, and getting tired already just by what's going on. I know for myself, a number of things arose out of unexpectedly, and just kind of tapped my energy, and I also shared, wow, where did that week go? You know, and so I, like you, similar to you, have certain plans, and yet the Lord just kind of seems to steer those things. But, you know, I think there is a certain heart that we have that honors the Lord. That is, when we commit to the Lord, whatever we do, that God is glad that we're committing it to Him, and we're allowing Him to order our steps, or as we might put it, the sign of heaven, to reorder our steps. And I think the walk of faith is like that. That is, no matter what happens in the upcoming year, we're willing to say, okay, Lord, teach me. Let me know what's going on so that I can follow you better. And it's with that heart I hope that we can begin going into the new year. This is a new year message, and I do have a vision for 2018 I would like to share with you. If you've taken a look at your bulletin, you've already seen some of those ideas. Why don't you go ahead and get that out? And as you do, I would like to just review some thoughts about 2017. 2017, personally for me, was a year that I was willing and ready to move on with some very firm steps going forward. 2016 was a very, very difficult year. Many of you know about that. It was difficult not only for me, but for the church as well. And 2017 was a year, it was like, okay, Lord, I'm ready to move forward here. Let's get some things in place. Let's get some things established so that we can move forward. And one of the things that many of our leaders had been working on behind the scenes was this, the thing that we maybe kind of heard about quite a bit, and it's our new bylaws, right? How many of you are just bylawed out already? You're just ready to move beyond that already. I'm ready to move beyond that. Amen to that. But it took a lot of energy, it took a lot of focus to change the entire, the structure of our church. And that is a follow-through of something that was done at our general conference in 2010. So it took us 7 years. Some other churches have done it in a lot fewer years. Some other churches are still working on it, so it's okay. God has his timing for us. But part of that has to do with the elders. Now that we have elders in place, what are the elders going to do? And in fact, in the next couple of weeks, the sermons are going to be talking about the responsibilities of elders and qualifications of elders, because the congregation is involved in that. And something else that's very important of that is that when the Bible speaks about elders, the Bible is speaking about selecting from within the congregation those who qualify for eldership. But those qualifications are not just for that group of people. They're the same qualifications for everybody, the same standards, if you will, for everybody. Everybody has those same standards. It's just that we have to choose a number of people who exemplify those standards and hopefully are not perfect, but are walking in that direction to the best of their ability. So we talked about elders, and we've been moving in that direction. Meanwhile, though, not everything comes to a standstill. As we've seen in this past year, it's just marvelous to see us start off with things like the spring banquet and see so many guests come. We've been talking about facilities, making some progress on some of these many in-depth kinds of topics that we have to talk about. We established a church calendar to help everybody get on locked on to the same page, if you will. Prior to that, it's just tons of phone calls and a lot of miscommunication. Not that miscommunication won't continue. To some degree, that's going to continue because we're what we call human beings, right? So we need to have grace and patience with one another. But it's so neat to see these events, the Labor Day picnic. I love the camps that have been taking place, the activities for the youth, people being discipled, growing up in their faith, sharing their faith, coming up here and doing a just marvelous Christmas program and outreaches for the winter. And, of course, one of the top things of all is a brand new shirt for Stan. Yay! Thanks, Amy. I got my new shirt. But the work of the church continues. And even as we're restructuring, it's so neat to see the saints of God, taking the responsibilities, rising up to what the Holy Spirit is speaking in them, and saying, God, I feel you leading me to do this, and taking responsibility, taking initiative to do what God has put on your heart. And God is constantly making changes, but we adapt to that as he leads us. And so that in is just a brief highlight, and I just want to give thanks to the Lord for the previous year. There's just so many neat things that have been happening. And in all these things, I want to say thank you, Lord. So why don't we, as we reflect some of these things that we've witnessed in the midst of our congregation, why don't we give God a clap offering for the things he's done? Lord, thank you for what you've done, Lord. Continue to work in our midst. Yes. If you look in your bulletin, the handout, our key scripture for today is Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18, it's so key that it's written four times. Four different translations. Each one of these translations brings out a little different nuance of this key verse. Many of us know this verse from King James. King James made it very, very famous. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I do not have King James in there because the idea of people perishing is really not, whatever it meant to people in the 1600s, that's different from us today. It's different enough that I didn't want to put that one in, that King James in. So, but I thought I'd wanted to show it to you in a number of different versions, and this might actually help you to see how I study the scripture and how you might want to study the scripture as well. It's very, very easy now that we have electronic equipment, right? got your electronics, pull up your Bible, online Bible, and voila, lots of different versions you can pick from. But I'd like us to read a couple of these versions here as we look forward to what is God, what is vision, and how can we have pursue God's vision in our church. Let's go ahead and read these versions together, okay? We can go ahead and use the projection on the screen here. Okay, ready, go. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. So we see a couple of common themes in these scriptures here. As we're looking at this, we see the idea of there's some kind of divine revelation that God gives us. And it's our responsibility to receive that, to be sensitive to that in some way. I'm going to talk about that in just a bit. The next one here is cast off restraint or unrestrained or running wild. That is, without a sense of direction to pull people together, to work on the same page. Maybe it's collaboration, but you have these various different minds that are working together and hearts that are in commonly working together. Or something to provide us guidance. Really, it's every man for himself. And that's not a good situation to have. But when we have certain kinds of guidance, it pulls us together. It helps us to focus our energies. It helps us to work in collaboration with each other and in synergy with each other. Synergy means together we are better than each individual on their own. It's like, I like to use illustrations from cars. But synergy is a car with parts put together. Non-synergy is just a pile of parts. The parts are the same, but when you're working in synergy, it's all together. That car, the car that has the parts working together can accomplish a lot more, amen, than a pile of parts. Okay, so that's another idea. That is it, the focusing of our attentions. The last one here, the last line there, has the idea of happy, blessed, joyful. There's a spirit, a positive spirit that results from having certain restraints around us, having something to guide us. When we have nothing to guide us, believe it or not, we're less happy than when we have guidance in place. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we go along. And this verse is really a truism as you're looking at Proverbs. Proverbs should not be considered truths, hard and fast truths, but they should be considered truisms or principles that are solidly embedded in the reality of life. So this particular proverb, Proverbs 29:18, there are lots of good proverbs in the world, but the proverbs that come out of Scripture are also authoritative. That means they're God-given, and God wants us to know this. And so as we're moving forward in 2018, let's consider how pulling together vision will help us to work together, will motivate us and make us more effective. Amen? Father in heaven, we commit to you now the words that are coming up. Lord, I pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that speaks and connects and communicates. And Father, above all, have your way. Have your way. Encourage us to plan well, and to carry it out. Encourage us also, Lord, to watch for little detours, sometimes big detours, that you use to guide us in walking in your way. And Father, I pray that it would be with that gracious spirit that you allow us to go forward from here, taking every step as ordered of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you look in your handout, I have kind of a summary statement, a one-line summary statement of Proverbs 29:18. If you look at bullet A, it says, more wisdom and less consequence equals better results. So if you can write the word results in there. You know, I've taught my kids when they've grown up, and I still teach this, that there are two main ways we can learn. We can learn through wisdom, or we can learn through consequence. It's better to learn through wisdom. You know what wisdom is, right? When somebody teaches you an idea like, you work hard and you're going to get ahead, right? You study hard and you're going to be able to do that homework better. You do it regularly and you can do it easier than trying to cram it in at the end. All of those are good things. Oh, you can live by consequence, right? Instead of learning that way, you can not do your homework, be caught frantic, staying up all night, and get not so good a grade. That's learning from consequence, right? You can be wise and do your best to obey the law. And during our holiday season, there's always these commercials about not driving drunk and these checkpoints that are going to be set up. Now, you can try to learn from wisdom and say, you know what? Those who drive drunk are going to get caught and are going to injure somebody, might injure themselves and other people. And so I'm going to not drive drunk. But there are people who do drive drunk, and they, instead of operating from wisdom, operate from consequence. They end up hurting somebody, or they get arrested, and they have to get thrown in jail and things like that. That's consequence. Hopefully, at least you learn. One way or the other, hopefully you learn. Back of our minds, right? We all know people who go through the same consequences over and over and over and don't seem to learn. But we'll put that aside because that's not us, right? Actually, it is us in some ways. All of us have certain weaknesses that we just seem to continue to have a difficulty with. But more wisdom and less consequence equals better results. As we're looking into these verses, Proverbs 29:18, oops, if we think about what that verse, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation. That word revelation specifically means a revelation from God. It means kind of like a prophetic type of revelation. In other words, how is God speaking? And I want to make this connection real quick because it takes us into something that we can depend upon in the church for the long term. And that is, when we are given a revelation, in the Old Testament depended on these prophets to come and speak, and a seer or some kind of divine revelation to guide the people. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that there is a new way. It's a little bit different now. And that is, let me just read that to you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the past, now this is shortly after Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and after he ascended on high. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed as heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And so today, while there was a time when main way we understood God's revelation was through prophets, today we know it through Jesus Christ, through his Son. And how do we understand? What's the main testimony we have of the Son of God? I give you a hint. N-T. N-T. Any idea? whisper it to your neighbor and say, do you think it's New Testament? Okay. Who says it's New Testament? Yeah, you got it. Right, very good. Okay, it's New Testament. The New Testament is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so it's through the Word of God that we understand that God has chosen now to reveal it to us. It's through Jesus Christ. So this reminds us of a scripture, doesn't it? Jesus himself said in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So if you imagine a grapevine or maybe a vine that's growing on, if you don't grow grapes, and you might not know what that looks like, but any kind of vine that grows on your fence or whatever it is, Jesus is that main vine that grows through there, and we are the branches, the little tiny little branches that go off. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If that little branch is broken off of the vine, that little branch is useless. So we see, as Jesus says, it's all about staying connected to the vine. And if you look at our illustration here, this little diagram that we have in your bulletin, we have something called the wheel illustration. This was developed by a ministry called the Navigators. And the one on the right was developed by Karen Jensen. And this was made in pictorial form by our very own Bill Kawai. And that's why we can copy and paste it so nicely and neatly. Anyway, for our purposes here, I'm going to look at the wheel illustration because it's simpler. How do we connect to Jesus Christ? Our life on the outside, if you will, is a life of serving, the things that we do in life. And that's the rim on the outside. The hub is Jesus Christ. And so the question is, how do we remain connected to that vine? And there are four things that were primarily thought of as missionaries have taken a look and say, what are the main things that connect our lives to Jesus? And these four things are not new to you. We've talked about them before at length in other settings. The Word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. The Word. Everything we know about the revelation of God comes from the Word of God. Even things we know about prayer comes from the Word of God. Things we know about fellowship comes from the Word of God. Things we know about witnessing or sharing our faith comes from the Word of God. Things about sharing comes from the Word of God. We start at the place of the Word of God. But we are not finished there. It's just a launching pad. From getting into the Word, we're looking at ways of getting into the Word. How do we get into the Word? The Word and prayer work hand in hand. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to God through prayer. It's a dialogue. And so when we're talking about a relationship with Christ, when we're emphasizing a relationship with Christ, we want to have people who are able to hear the Word as well as those who are able to talk to God. When you hear the Word and you talk to God, then you are engaging in a relationship. I've really not seen too many relationships where it was all one way. One person did all the talking, the other person did all the listening. Healthy relationships require two-way dialogue. Amen? So that's our whole desire. It's one of the main things. It's our vertical relationship, the Word of God and prayer. Our horizontal relationship consists of fellowship with believers and witnessing or being a testimony to those who are not believers. So by fellowship, we're talking about more than just socializing. Of course, it includes socializing and just talking story. But it's by fellowship, Christian fellowship, we're talking about deep things. Being able to share your heart. Being able to share your struggles. So one level is the kind of greeting we give here today. Hey, Merry Christmas or Happy New Year. Another level is, let's go have coffee. Let's talk about deep things that we don't get to talk about at this kind of place. What are the real stresses going on in your life? What are the real fears and concerns? What motivates you? What wakes you up in the morning to keep you going? Or if you're not there, how can I support you in waking you up and keeping you going? And we all have this interplay. And that's what we call relationship. And that's what we call fellowship. And witnessing is really the next step of a healthy relationship with Christ and relationship with believers. Witnessing is simply saying, I have a relationship with God that you just won't believe. God spoke to me today about this or that. Oh, I brought my request to Him. I prayed about this, and God brought me comfort. And, you know, I was in this fellowship of believers, and we share a love that me and my neighbors just don't really understand. There's a certain dimension to this fellowship that we have that people don't really understand, but it's so enriching, so rich, that when it comes, now we're talking, when we're talking about witnessing, we're simply talking about sharing what you already have. Does that make sense? You already have a relationship with Christ, a real dynamic one. You already have a relationship with the family of God. If you talk to people who are outside the family of God, you have something to share. More than just a technique. Now, there are techniques. There are good things to learn. I love the bridge illustration. I think you ought to learn it. But it's not about the bridge illustration. It's about sharing your faith. So, and all of these things, they result in the place of serving. How do we serve our God? So if we look on to Vision 2018, the DNA, if you will, the DNA in our bodies, our physical bodies, is found in every cell in our body. It's the blueprint of every cell. Even the blueprint of your hair, your fingernail, or your skin carries the blueprint of the entire body. So likewise, in our small groups, when we share one-on-one and over coffee, when we're in the big group, we have the same DNA, the word, prayer, fellowship, witnessing, and serving in order to connect us to the vine of Jesus Christ. That's the DNA that's common. Everywhere we go, we want to foster that. So the vision for 2018 I'd like to share with you, this first one, if you look at your notes page, is an emphasis on small groups. You can write that in, small groups. So we began with a really nice big push a number of years ago, and small groups have continued on that. And I want to get back to this emphasis now of 100% participation. That is, everyone's going to participate at least in one trimester, one session throughout the year sometime. Participate in at least one of them. And by participation, we mean not just attending once or twice and then dropping out. We mean attending the whole thing all the way through, okay? So, and we have a number of different kinds of options available. We're talking about something that's vibrant, something that's really life-giving. You bring your life to that group, that those people bring their lives to you, and your life is richer because of it. The second one is to promote, if you can write that in there, that blank there, promote evangelism. Promote evangelism. We're talking about from head to toe, from beginning to end. That is, in our worship services, to be able to bring people into our worship services and be more evangelistic, to be more intentional in our thinking on how we do evangelism in our worship services as well. So be more conscious that there are people who might not be believers that come into our service. And we want to be able to reach them as well and have this place be a place where they see Jesus Christ. Evangelism training. We'd like to have some training going on throughout the year. Again, this is not new, but we want to get back on that track again, okay? Maybe have some topical workshops to invite people to certain issues. Let's say it's a young married thing. To bring topical issues that will be of interest to certain people who are young marrieds and say, you know what, that interests me. I think I'm going to go to this workshop, and our church can offer these kinds of things. So that's that one, promote evangelism, that's C. D is growth and maturity challenges. Growth and maturity challenges. So Skip Heitzig like many other pastors, have observed that there is a certain illiteracy in Bible, that people have a lot to grow, and we don't know that much about the Bible. We don't know enough about the Bible. So I'd like to offer this challenge. If you look in your notes page, anybody who accepts my challenge to read through the New Testament or read through the whole Bible in the next 2 years, or we'll read the Bible daily, every day. You're just going to crack open the Word of God and read a portion of Scripture. Or you're going to read the Bible and journal every day, write down some thoughts. If you're going to do that every day, we will offer you to give you a New Believer's New Testament. The New Believer's New Testament has some incredible helps in there that will help you to grow in your faith. And it's designed to give people that initial nutrients, the vitamins and the minerals, if you will, for spiritual growth that will help you to establish some strong footing to give you the next step, to propel you onto the next step. We're going to give you a New Believer's New Testament, or New Believer's the entire Bible. And so that's the first one. That's a challenge to you. Second challenge is, this is an interesting one, but I feel the Lord wanted me to say this. I prayed about this. And that is, sometimes we have these sins that just kind of nag, hang on to us. And over life, it's been there for so long, we've just kind of grown to accept it. We just kind of know it just kind of tags along with us, and we no longer are very strong about that sin. I'd like to make a challenge to you. Now think about one thing, a besetting sin that continually nags at you, and to overcome that this year. I'm not saying it's never going to nag you ever again. Sin is always going to rear its ugly head. But take some initial, really serious effort to identify something and to knock it out. I've shared many of these things in my own life. Things like swearing, things like pornography, things like rage and anger. I've had to work really hard at those things. I want to challenge you to work really hard on any particular sin that you might identify with that you need to work on. And work on it this year. I challenge you. And I hope we'll if you want help, I'll come and help you with the Word of God, prayer, encouragement. You can share that in your small groups if you want. I won't make you do that. That's totally up to you. But resolve that you're going to get this taken care of, and at least address it and honor the Lord that way. How about taking initiative in a small group? Small groups in the church aren't all the small groups that exist. When I went to small groups pretty much from the day I came to Christ, but being in the working world, I had other small groups. We had Bible studies, we had support groups that were just not part of the church. The church didn't set them up. That we just felt the Lord wanted me to lead this, so I just went ahead and did it. I encourage you to do that. If you feel the initiative, God leading you, these people need some support here, let's take a look at it. Heed the Holy Spirit. Listen to what He's saying. And be the person God wants to use in that group of people. This next one here under E is, if you're ready to write that in, support young to middle adults. I was wanting to call it young adults, but our church is a place where we're kind of missing this really large gap of people, aren't we? So we took this survey, as you know, not too long ago, a couple months ago. One of the things that came up a number of times was that we're missing this gap of people from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. They're missing. But we need to have that group of people. And so we want to do what it takes to begin really taking some initiative on here. Maybe internships, I don't know, pray about a pastor for that kind of that age range. See how we can support them through life seminars. See who we can raise up. See who we can recruit. But we need to get those people to be able to minister to that group of people. It is not a surprise. Everybody, I think, understands that. When I came here 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, one of the first things, the things that the previous generation told me the most by far, maybe three times more than any other comment, was that we need the next generation. Okay, so I came, and kind of a next generation came. But now, we need the next generation again. Amen? Amen? So that never goes away. We have to continue to hand that down to the next generation. Finally, I want to look at F, God-honoring facility. You've heard me say this before. We use property to run programs that build people to serve the purposes of God. Facilities are not in themselves the goals. Facilities serve. Facilities facilitate. But I want to take a look more clearly this year on beautification of our facility so that when people drive by and they say, wow, that building has a testimony in this community. That building has a testimony in this community. It's like if you work in your working place, and when in Philippians chapter 2:14, he says, to live your lives without complaining or arguing, so that you may be mature and complete, and that you may shine like stars in the universe. So when you live your life in the working world, people say, wow, that person's different. That person seems to carry themselves with peace and a sense of composure. I don't know how to make that connection here, but I want, when people drive by our facility, they say, wow, that facility is like a light in the shining dark, in the darkness. So those of you who have some kind of idea, I'll be honest with you, I'm not gifted with that. But I do know it when I see it. I mean, you know, I walk into the bathroom, Tony does these decorations in the bathroom. I'm no good at doing that. But when I see it, I know that somebody with a gift has taken care of that. And I'm grateful for that. So I want to put that out there for all of you. And I want to say, taking care of our facility is something that we all need to have a hand in. We have a number of different church cleanup activities throughout the year. Attend at least one. At least one. More if you can, because hopefully you clean your own house more than three times a year. But at least one. If nobody's made that charge to you, I'm making that charge to you right now. And the next step is, how is God leading us as far as a new facility, a new building? We'd like to pursue that and get some solid footing under where we are going right now, so we have a clear direction. So that's kind of what I have in mind. And I'd like to do this, if we can. People ask me, Stan, what is your vision? What is your vision for the church? I just shared with you my vision, but I want to tell you what the most compelling vision is, and it's very, very difficult to explain, except I just explained it to you. It's really this. It's this. It's the wheel illustration. It's the flower illustration. So when I say, look at the, what is your vision, Stan? Go like this. Put it up to your body like this. Go ahead and just put it up to your body. This is what my vision is. I see the word, prayer, fellowship, witnessing, and serving in each person's heart. Now, what I want you to do, as if you have this up to your body like this, I want you to look at the next person. Because I would like to have this vision be on your heart. When you're greeting the next person, you're saying, are you involved in the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing and serving in order to connect you to Jesus Christ? That's what is on my heart. And that's why it's very difficult for me to communicate what my vision is, because it's not out there. It is in here. That's what I see in people. So when I look at Susan, when I look at Frank, when I look at Penn, I look at Tina and Gordon, I think word, prayer, fellowship, witnessing, serving. That's what I see. But how do I tell that to people? So that's the best way I can do. Put this up to your body, and this is what I see. And you look at the next person. If you see this, that's what I see. And Lord, I raise my hand and say, Lord, how can you help me to do that? How can you help me to help them? I'd like to ask the band to come up. And I have one more personal application as far as vision, is that we'll end on time on the worship service most of the time. So